This is the Team Church Podcast with Kevin Gerald, where we exist to move church forward and have the conversations that every team needs to be having.
Hello, Team Church. Welcome back to the Team Church Podcast. My name is Brandon Stewart, and I'll be your host for the episode today. We have created this space to have the conversations that every team needs to be having. And our goal today, why we're here, is we want to set up a necessary, vital conversation for you and send you home and let you finish it with your team. So we're so glad you're here today. And I'm here with Coach K, Pastor Kevin. So glad to be sitting
across the
living room here from you today.
Here we are.
And hey, a huge congratulations. Today is book release day. If you're watching this on release day of your new book, Naked and Unafraid. And I'm so excited for this.
I'm excited too. Just hoping, praying, believing. It's going to help a lot of people.
Absolutely. I want to encourage you as we get into the conversation today that this is a resource that you can order for yourself and for your team today. It's available today everywhere books are sold. And I know as our home church, we're going through a series on this. We want to invite you to do it with your own church as well. We would just love to bring what we consider to be a very vital, necessary conversation to your teams. And we're actually on part two of our conversation on Naked and Unafraid, and excited to get into this today. But if you haven't watched part one yet of our conversation, you're probably going to want to hit pause and stop and go check out that episode. We're going to build on last month's conversation today and just believe it's going to help a lot of leaders, help a lot of people. So today, let's dive right in. We're going to go into section two of your book, which is on abandoned smallness.
Which is actually in that subtitle on the cover. The whole book, Naked and Unafraid, is we wrap it up in five keys to abandon smallness, overcome criticism, and be all that you're meant to be. So I love this topic. I'm ready to talk about it today.
We actually liked it so much, too. We put it in the Team Church Code as well. So I think this is a really big idea for our tribe. In fact, it says this. I love this. You found this in the Message, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. It says this, dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open, spacious life. But then it says this, and you write this in the book. We didn't fence you in.
Right.
The smallness you feel comes from within you.
Wow.
The smallness you feel comes from within you. So, Pastor, you talk in the book about how we build fences. Mm-hmm. We build fences internally that keep us small. I guess I'm just going to let you go here for a second.
Yeah, and I think that the Apostle Paul is writing with a word picture to make it really clear. Hey, you're living little. you are fenced in, but just to be clear, nobody's doing that to you. You're doing that to yourself.
That's right.
And even in the NIV version of it, the Apostle Paul, he says something like, hey, I came to you with a wide open heart, but you've responded to me by being closed and guarded. So I think he's wanting to really get right to the point there and to make it clear that we do this to ourselves. It's self-sabotaging in nature, but we literally create a small positioning, a smallness of mind, a smallness of attitude. And then we often blame other people for us not being bigger and being out there. And we tell all the reasons why we can't or we don't. But I love that verse. I love the way it's worded in the Message.
Why do we build the fences? Is it to stay safe?
Yeah, we build fences out of fear, really. It's the dynamic of fear. Something tells us when we're young or after we're young, actually, we start maturing a little bit. And that we have to play it safe, and that playing it safe is the safe way to live, when actually in the book we talk about playing it safe is dangerous, and no one really wants to talk about the dangers of playing it safe. But that's really why we build the fences and fence ourselves in. It's something we're afraid of. Like, we're afraid of of, you know, rejection. We have insecurities about if we put ourselves out there, how's it going to be received? If we try something, will we fail? What are people going to think? And this is like all of us deal with it. No matter what role you're in, what Totally. Position you're in life, everybody deals with it.
Well, and you talk about this idea too, like, let's just take the word rejection, that it's easier to reject first rather than be rejected. That Right. would be offense, that, Right. that I'm going to reject you so you can't reject
Yeah,
me.
Exactly. I talk about a young man in our church who told me his story of how his dad had abandoned him at a young age. And every time we'd reach out to his dad by text or calling, he felt like his dad was always saying, hey, I'll talk to you later, or I'll get back to you at some point. And then somehow he grew into this habit, and he shared this with me. He said he grew into the habit of feeling like that was what, you know, a man does. Like, so he starts rejecting people by way of, if he would get a text, he wouldn't text back. If he'd get a call, he wouldn't call back. And now he looks back and he says, you know, that was so silly. I don't know why I was doing it, but I can't imagine how many people that I actually rejected out of my own smallness that God was trying to put into my life. And now he's 28 years old. He has a son of his own, and he's become a counselor, a youth counselor.
Wow.
Really, I'm really proud of him. He's on our platform, on our worship team. I'm really proud of him because he has identified a smallness within himself that he had picked up as a protection mechanism to rejection that he felt from his dad. So we often reject or we push back against something like that because we're not wanting to put ourselves out there.
Well, you actually say it in the book that what fits now hurts later. So that's fine maybe for this moment, but I'm going to get to a place where that's going to not work for me anymore.
Right, right. I tell the story of my grandson, Kyan, and in a store, he liked the tennis shoes. We were going to buy them. But then he wanted maybe to try the next size up, and they didn't have it in his size. And so then he's going, oh, no, I'm okay. My feet are fine. I feel fine. And I'm going, son, you know, if it's hurting now, you're going to grow out of it really quick. And that's where, it started occurring to me that, okay, imagine when your parents told you to go apologize or go tell someone you're sorry, how hard that was. Like, but in the big picture, they were making you bigger on the inside.
Totally.
Like they were helping you to move along by being able, in that moment, it hurt. Like, it's like, I don't want to say I'm sorry. No, they did it. They started. But your parents said, no, you go apologize. What they were actually doing, they were making you bigger. So what fits now hurts later.
Yeah.
Like if you don't grow bigger than that right now and take the bigger route in life and the bigger picture in life, it's going to hurt you down the road.
Wow. Something that you said in the book that I feel like we all need to be reminded of, and I think this really kind of gets to the heart of what you're talking about here, is that we can't shrink the greatness and the potential in our own life in order to accommodate the insecurities of those around us. Mm. I loved this thought because whether it's said or whether it's unsaid,
yep.
People around us, if we start to move forward, if maybe God blesses our life in some way or we're used of God in some way, I think that it's very possible that people will, whether you want to call it jealousy or envy or there could be a million words for it, but insecurity in others will pop up around you, but we can't limit ourselves
right
by other people's insecurity.
Right. We can't allow, and man, it's so common, Brandon. And I would just say, you know, this is a section for leaders and teams to just realize if I can persuade you today to understand that when people around you say small things, innuendos, it happens to everyone. Like when you start to pop up a little bit, maybe in your church leadership, people will say, oh, you're a big shot now, you know, or who do you think you are? Oh, you're the pastor's pet, or, you know, whatever those silly taglines. But where do they come from? They come from small, insecure feelings that other people have.
They come from the very people that wish they were doing that, usually.
Yeah, yeah, and it's that, and, you know, and you can't just argue with them. You can't even start to defend yourself. But at the same time, you also need to understand that when you shrink to the size of those people who are insecure, it doesn't make them any more secure.
Wow.
And wow. And that's really crucial. Like, yes. You don't win by coming down to their level with that. To like, okay, I don't want you to feel bad at me. I want to be your friend. That doesn't make them any more secure in life. And secondly, if you can just realize that when you reduce your confidence, you compromise your calling.
Hmm.
So if you're a team member, a staff member, who God's promoting you,
wow,
and God's bringing you along into new places and spaces, you're going to have people. Remember when David was going to fight Goliath and his older brother,
right,
Eliab,
right,
attacks him verbally? Mm. Who do you think you are?
Like, wow.
Go back and go back to the, you belong in, out watching the sheep. You're just a shepherd. I'm a soldier. You're a shepherd. He was already starting to maybe sense and feel like David's walking onto the battlefield today with a confidence and just, you know, he's going to show me up. And so that's really just a dynamic I think all of us need to be aware of as God is blessing us or moving us forward, is that you're not helping other people get bigger by getting smaller. So just keep resisting the smallness. Keep on moving into the places God, don't get haughty. You can stay humble. You don't have to promote yourself. All of that's true. But at the same time, make sure that you don't let smallness in other people shrink you down from what God has planned for you.
I feel like there's well-known territory here in leaders. Leaders know what it's like to, for example, be blamed for something for no reason. Do you experience criticism? I mean, I think there's one thing if you deserve it, but there right. there's a whole nother thing when you're experiencing, yeah, criticism for no doing of your own. But I think what you and I have talked about at times is that is what it means to lead.
Mm-hmm.
Is to actually expose yourself to that, to the possibility. Not everyone will understand my motives.
Yep.
Not everyone will understand my journey.
Right.
And my story. But that requires us getting bigger.
Right.
On the inside.
Yeah. Every leader, if you look around you and you go, wow, you know, they are great leaders, or wow, look how far they've come to become who they are. Just know in your heart of hearts, just understand they have had to overcome the criticism of other people repeatedly, because you just don't get there. Now, they may not have been in the newspapers. It may not have been broadcast in the media. It might have been little smirks. And, you know, depending on the size of your church, the city you're in, all of those things are relevant as to what that was like or what form it came in. But it could be their own family members. It could be their peers. It could be just sometimes, I know as a young pastor, there were older men in the church who, like, they thought that it was their job, you know, to keep me humble. And so to keep me humble meant really to talk strong to me and critical toward me and,
wow,
things like that. And that was their way of, that was the lens through which they viewed their job toward me as a young up-and-coming leader who was starting to get popular, and he's getting a little known, the church is growing, he's going to get a big head, it's my job to make sure he doesn't. And so all of that kind of stuff is in the mix, is all we're trying to say. And if you're not guarding your heart, and if you're not really aware that this sort of stuff is going to happen, it can cause you to back away whenever God's calling you forward. God's bringing you, beckoning you into the next level. And
Absolutely.
If you let that stuff bother you and get to your heart, you'll shrink back instead of moving forward.
Absolutely. And, you know, recently I got to visit St. Louis, and I got to see where your parents used to pastor, that old church building. It was really, right, cool. And I was actually thinking, standing outside those doors, think about what all God has done from, right, just out of this little building. Look at what God has done, you know, over whatever it would be, 30, 40 years.
Right.
And, but no doubt, even moving to the Northwest from St. Louis, and then we have a merger you know, years ago in our history. There were moments where God brought you from one season to the next, and it required something, I know, of you and Pastor Sheila to respond to that next season of what was next for you.
Yeah, and that's really, looking back, the grace that brought us to where we are is amazing in and of itself, and we're thankful for it. But definitely, no one will probably know like we know the sound of the critics' voices along the way. And now I don't have to. It doesn't hurt anymore. I'm not here to complain about it. I'm just here to share our story, hopefully to encourage other leaders, that you cannot allow yourself to get sucked into small-minded and small-thinking people who oftentimes mean well, honestly. They don't even know what they're doing or saying. You just have to keep your eyes focused on the bigger picture.
And I brought that up even to just say it would have been so easy for you to succumb to those voices and stay right where you had been.
Absolutely. We've given up friendships. We've given up, you know, when it came to pleasing people, there are people displeased, and you have to deal with that. Like, you just have to, you know, that they're not happy with you. I mean, even to this day, honestly, I'll tell you a couple little things. When your church goes from being, a church where everyone sees you on the weekend versus seeing you on a screen, and watching you at locations and things like that, it's amazing how all of that leads to conversations with people who oftentimes do not know what they're saying in the bigger scope of things, and how their criticism is hurtful, but they tell you, you know, I like you better in this way. I like you better in that way. I want you doing this. Yep. I don't like that. And actually, it's hard for you. You're trying to figure out how to do new things and be in multiple places at one time and expand into the territory God's calling you to, giving you, or whatever. But that's really, in my world now, that's kind of how it looks. But I think it's peer-to-peer, it's friend-to-friend, it's people you grow up with. Sometimes they can only be there for a season. Some people are for a season, some people are for a reason, and some people are for a lifetime. Yep. And the ability to overcome that, keep on moving forward, that's abandon that smallness is what one of the things we're talking about.
So on the other side of abandoning smallness is a life that in the book, and I love the section of the book, I love when you taught this in our church. On the other side of that is a life you call sand and stars. It is the wide open life that God has for us. Would you just unpack that thought for a second? Sand and stars.
Well, the sand and stars is those dreams that God puts inside of all of us. Everybody's sand and stars is different by definition. Of course, everybody who knows their Bible knows that has something to do with Abraham. And he walks out, into the night and the clear sky, and God speaks to him and says, "You see the stars? And the stars that your children are going to number the stars." Now, in that day when you heard that sort of language, it was stretching you to think big, because just having children was a blessing. Like just having a couple kids, you're blessed with a few kids. And now he's saying, "I'm going to make a great nation out of you." And the same thing with the sand, and the sand of the seashore. I'm going to make the scripture says, this is what I'm going to do in your life. This is what I'm going to do in your future. So it's like God was stretching his imagination by showing him stars in the sky and sand at his feet. And this is the essence of this whole idea of abandoned smallness, is start to believe God for the bigger things that he has in mind for you.
Yes.
And to keep on elevating yourself out of things like envy, strife, jealousy in your own heart or in the lives of other people toward you. Keep elevating yourself out of that. Keep focusing on the bigger picture, the bigger plan that God has for you. Keep your heart pure before God. Keep on walking with him with trust and confidence, and just knowing that God has a bigger, greater plan, and to live that out without allowing yourself to get stuck. So with Abraham, there were things along the way like, "Abraham, this is silly. You know, your wife is barren. Like, this can't happen." That was one of the first hurdles that he had to get over. There were miracles that had to happen along the way there were doors that had to open up for him to ever reach that place of prestige and honor and respect that he now has in all of our. I mean, he's major in all the major religions of the world, Abraham.
Right, right.
So he's a big deal. But it all started out there somewhere with wow. sand at his feet and stars in the sky. And so it's that kind of thing, Brandon, that I hope in ministry and in teams and in leadership that we can all keep believing. God wants to do something big in us, through us, as a people, and we can't allow ourselves to get stuck along the way. We got to keep looking at sand and stars.
So incredibly encouraging. One thing that is interesting to me about our culture today, I'm thinking of young leaders. I'm thinking of, if you want to use the term, millennial leaders in our kind of live for the now, live for the moment culture that we have today. I think one area of smallness is we live for today rather than investing for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I think this keeps us small. We just see the need in front of us or the opportunity ahead of us, and we don't see, I mean, Lord willing, people watching would be in ministry 10, 20, 30 years, thriving and living for God, but sometimes we end up living just for the now, and we get frustrated by the now rather than building for the future.
Right.
I guess what would you say to the young leader listening today who's finding themselves battling that side of our culture?
Yeah, I thanks for bringing that up, because it is a tendency right now. It's a trap right now. And it's interesting that you were in St. Louis and you saw our humble, small beginnings. My father was a pastor, little church. And because I often think back about the people who gave to our church, the people who taught in classes where I was a kid coming to Sunday school class, the youth leaders I had, with a sense of gratitude. And I'm sure that many of them, they don't even know where I am today. But they were just investing of themselves. And, you know, whatever wins I have, there's some credit that goes to their account.
Wow, very well said.
For that. And so I think in the millennial age, you don't want to pick on anybody, but maybe socially there's some traps there to be aware of.
Yeah.
In certain age demographics, and to keep on reminding yourself to not, we're not just talking about think big in short term. Like, we're talking about long term thinking.
Totally.
Play the long game.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Think generationally.
Yes.
And think about how what we do today is going to impact generationally over time. Like,
yes.
Our investment is not in vain. Like, when you're going through the daily routines and you're like, you know, I don't have to put up with this. I don't want to deal with this. Our team that, my boss that, our church this, you know, just really be careful, because you could be looking at things in the immediate me kind of, you know, lens and mindset, when actually God's calling us to have a sand and stars mentality that is long term. It's about our children, and it's about our children's children. And that is, if we have to start over in God's church, if we have to start over every generation, and just at the beginning and every generation, we're never going to fulfill the Great Commission and God's plan for us. But it's when we build one generation on another and on another that we can actually get traction, and traction that will impact the world for Christ. So there you go. I'm opening this thing up and on fire a little bit, but it's thinking three, it's thinking big, it's thinking generationally, it's thinking sand, thinking stars. That's what we mean when we say abandon smallness. Get past the petty, get past the immediate, get past the moment, get past the argument, get past the feeling you have with someone, the issues you have with each other. Transcend all of that on a repeated basis in your life. So that you can experience the blessings God has for you.
Totally. And I feel like when you live that way, it puts the pressure that I'm feeling today in its right place, in its right context. Mm-hmm. These are light and these are momentary troubles. This is just something. In other words, if I don't have a long-term view, I may be tempted to walk away from the thing that I'm in. But when I have a long-term view, I can get through. I can break through the smallness of all of those things we experience as leaders.
Oh, so true. I mean, how often can we even, so parents, when a husband and a wife get, you know, stuck in a marital dispute or arguments, or, you know, what do they do? Good parents, they think, man, what would this do to my kids? They start thinking about the kids.
Right.
And a lot of times that brings them back to, I'm going to work through this.
Yes.
We've got to get some counseling. We got to get some help, because they are being wise enough to understand that it's not about the short term. It's not about how they feel today. And that, I think all of us are called into the work of the Lord. And everybody who's watching today, you're on a team. We're called into this to carry this with poise and awareness that it's not just about us.
Absolutely.
It's about our children and our children's children. We can't be small in big things.
Okay, last question for you. Land the plane with this one. What would you say to the person who's watching today that as they're watching this or as they're reading the book, something's coming up in them saying, I've been living small. I'm fenced in right now. Whether that be by someone else or myself, I'm fenced in. Like, just what's an action step?
As odd as it may seem, I would say, first thing, go find a place right now and pray and ask God to forgive you. Like just come clean, not to impress God, but to just get a fresh slate of awareness. Like, this is what smallness looks like. I've been small. And confess that fault before God. Secondly, go to someone, a trusted friend, and tell them, confess your faults to one another. Go to your pastor, go to someone you work with, and say that to them. I'm realizing that I'm living too small. I'm majoring on minors, and I don't want to spend my time in life doing this. There's bigger things that we need to be thinking about and opening my mind to. So I would say start there. And you'll be surprised, actually, when you do. Like, you might shed a few tears in moments like that. You might, in that full repentance, full disclosure, full confession, it might just kind of pull some things out of you by confessing and break up some hard, fallow ground within you. And then out of that, there can come a fresh harvest in your life. Something new, something better, something bigger, something generational can happen through that.
And we believe God will lead.
Amen.
In those moments. And hey, thank you for writing this. Thank you for, if you want to call it, risking exposure and taking even your own writing on a new track. I really think this is going to help a lot of people. And I think you've already helped us today. So thank you very much. And I want to encourage you, if you're watching and this is resonating with you, why don't you head anywhere books are sold, grab a copy, grab some for your team, grab some for your church. We would count it an honor to bring this message to your church in any way we can, help you, help some leaders, and believe that as a church, we're going to move forward. So we're grateful for this book today. Also, if this podcast is resonating with you, can I encourage you to hit the subscribe button wherever you're watching this today or listening to this today? We release this every month, and it would be our honor to have a space with your life and with your team every single month. Also, leave us a rating, a comment, even help us make some noise on social media, tag Team Church Conf, tag hashtag Team Church, and let's make some noise, spread the word, what God is doing in the life of our tribe. So Team Church, we love you. So excited we get to do this together, excited we get to build God's church together. Until next time, no, we love you. We're praying for you. God bless you.
God bless you guys.
This has been the Team Church Podcast with Kevin Gerald. For more information on conferences and events, check out teamchurchconference.com.